Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Life Transformation Radio. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, performance enhancement expert, and author, Sean Douglas. The show is currently heard in over 58 countries, such as the U.S., India, Canada, France, Australia, Belgium, Panama. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here is where we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that has changed our lives and how we use this to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. Now, you can listen to us live 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can also join our Facebook community, Life Transformation Radio Community. You can subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Player FM, and the Google Play Music app, or right here on Blog Talk Radio. Wherever you're comfortable listening to podcasts, please subscribe, rate, and review the show. Because on this show are entrepreneurs, speakers, business owners, coaches, podcasters, authors, and other amazing people who are impacting everyone around them in their world. My guest today does exactly that. If during the show you have any questions for myself or any guest that I bring on Life Transformation Radio, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. So please help me welcome to the show my friend Travis Johnson. What's up, dude?
Hey, Sean, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on today.
Dude, super pumped, man. Super pumped to have you on the show. And we've been talking for quite some time, and man, I'm just ecstatic for what you're going to bring to the listeners today, man.
Oh, you building me up for a pretty good fall, are you?
Oh, you know, we ask the hard questions on this show, man. We go deep. Super, super, super freaking awesome to have you here, man. So let's dive right in. This episode is entitled Living Financially Free with Travis Johnson. Travis is the founder of Warrior's Wallet. Travis started the journey after a decade of helping others get their day-to-day finances in order. He's helped hundreds of families pay off more than $5 million in debt. The perspective he provides bridges the gap between knowledge and action. A University of Oklahoma graduate, a Navy veteran, Travis is the Books by Vets second vice president, public relations director, and finance committee member. He also serves on the board of the Shine Foundation. He is a graduate of Team South X and teaches Reboot Combat Recovery, hosted by Life Troops. Travis has been married for 17 years and has two amazingly wonderful children who attend school in Moore, Oklahoma. He is ordained, a professional speaker, a published author, and a coach. He loves connecting people and adding value to their businesses and to their lives. Now you can go to warriorswallet.com. You can also go to booksbyvets.org. And then you can look up Shine at facebook.com/shineforus. F-O-R-U-S. Shine for us. Facebook.com/shineforus. For us. So, dude, you literally sound like a freaking badass. I'm just saying. Just by reading that, I'm like, I've got to know more.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot, Sean. I just have a hard time picturing a world where I'm not giving back after I've been given so much.
You know what? I've done so many things. You know, I've built multiple businesses, you know, while serving on active duty. I've been many duty stations in the military. I've done many jobs in the military. I get it, man. Like I'm reading this. I'm like, yep. Sounds like that. Yep. That's great. Like there's two sets of people. You know, there's ones that are comfortable and ones that consistently live outside their comfort zone. And I believe that you and I are about the same. You know, like we kind of get bored maybe about 3 or 4 years in. We kind of get bored. It's like, okay, I need to kind of change it up. I need to do something new. I need to experience new things. I got to contribute in other areas. Okay, this is good. I feel pretty good about this area. Let's move on to a different area. Kind of my mentality. What about you?
I'm feeling the same way. You know, growing up, I didn't feel like I had a whole lot of opportunities. And, you know, I had a certain mindset growing up in, you know, trailer parks and foster homes and living with different people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you always have those one or two people here and there all the way through, no matter where I live. You know, I've moved 47 different times, and there's always been, you know, someone willing to reach out and give me a hand and get me on the right track and the right path. You know, I followed some solid advice my dad gave me and ended up joining the Navy. I got myself kind of out of that poor mindset into the middle class mindset. Yeah. I didn't have the finances right away because, you know, as an E-1 in the military, you're making, you know, less than 12 grand a year. But I still have my first LAS, my first paycheck to show
exactly
what I was making. You got to, right? You got to hold on to that.
Yep. I think 2001, yeah, man, even like basic training, I think it was like $300 or $400 or $500 or something like that. I remember distinctly, I remember in tech school, like mid-2002, man, I was getting ready to head to my first duty station. I think I got paid like $660. I distinctly remember there being like $600 paychecks coming, you know, and there were like stupid dorm people buying like brand new Mustangs and Camaros, which they still do, and having like a $500 car payment. I was like, why would you have a $500 car payment? That's like your whole paycheck. Like one paycheck insurance, one paycheck car payment. Got it. No food.
Well, I mean, they had the galley at least. They had something, but I mean, you weren't going out. You couldn't afford insurance. You weren't buying gas. You basically drove it once a month. Took the bus back and forth between the barracks and work. But I mean, I can understand how people that you know didn't have a steady paycheck or come from a family that you know took care of the money the right way or the way they needed to, and all of a sudden you got a steady paycheck coming in, and that car looks pretty nice,
right? Oh yeah,
of course,
man.
I'll buy it for 5 or 6 years, but I mean, why not?
Oh man, right? You know, it's funny that things haven't changed. Like when I got to tech school, and you know, they're doing stupid things, and then you know, I've been in 17 years, and I talked to the airman, and I'm looking at a car driver, like 2018 Z28 Camaro. I'm like, aren't you like an E3, like living in the dorms? They're like, yeah. Like, how do you even afford that? They're like, I don't really go anywhere because you can't afford to.
Dude, I'm with you, man. I joined in 2000. I hit 18 next month. And when I got my paycheck, you know, I went out to like Chili's and a movie. And then I was like, well, I guess I'm doing nothing the rest of the month because I'm out of money.
Yep. Hang out in the dorms, start eating chow hall food. And, you know, maybe like partner up with somebody like, hey, man, let's. I'll pitch in like 20, 30 bucks. Like you pitch in, like we'll go do something, you know, that's just kind of how it goes. Yep.
Yeah. If you weren't at the chow hall eating pork adobo or beef adobo or whatever adobo, the last leftovers from the day before, that's all you had access to.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. So I got to ask, man, the first question, real deep question to ask on the show is why join the Navy? Why be a financial coach? Why even start Where's Wallet? Like, what is your why? Why do you do what you do?
Well, I got to tell you, my why keeps on changing. It keeps on growing. It keeps on evolving. You know, when I got into some serious trouble when I was a teenager, I knew the value of hard work, but I didn't really know how I could get anywhere in life. I was working. I'd wake up and I'd go to Burger King and open up the store as a shift supervisor. I'd go across town and work the lunch counter at the bowling alley. I'd take a quick nap and I'd go and load truck at Walmart from 5 to 2 a.m. I did this 5 days a week. And I remember my dad telling me he was a Navy vet at the time. I think he was in the reserves. He did 4 active and then 22 in the reserves. And he's like, you get rid of those 3 crappy jobs and get a real job. Get one good one. And You know, I wasn't really thinking
yep.
that way, and I knew I wanted to go to college, but I couldn't afford that stuff. And, you know, joining the Navy is one of the top five best decisions I ever made, and got in there, and I realized I had a structure. I had ways that I could advance. People, by and large, followed, you know, vast majority of the rules, and there was, you know, there was a code of honor in there. You can get in and work hard and actually advance and make your own path in your own way. If you were willing to work for it, there was a set way for you to accumulate points and pass a test and all these things. And all of a sudden you were, you know, I was in the driver's seat of my own destiny, which I had never had before. And that was amazing. You know, fast forward to being in the Navy and having a wife and a little kiddo. And, like most people, I think in their mid-20s, they realize that they really don't know a whole lot about finances. You know, we got, up to our eyeballs in debt. We thought that if we could afford the payment, that means we could afford the thing. And we did, we had things, but, we got to one Christmas when my daughter was very young and we paid all our bills, and then we didn't have money for Christmas presents. We didn't have money for food. We didn't have money to put gas in the car. And we decided that was enough. You know, I didn't learn anything about finances growing up. It wasn't something that was talked about. It just wasn't. My wife had learned about savings and a little bit of investing and the importance of insurance. And that's, you know, the real difference between the poor and the middle class. And the middle class learns that stuff. You know, we got hooked on Dave Ramsey and some other things. We started clawing our way out of debt. And once we started doing that, we started giving. Our whole marriage turned around. Our whole outlook turned around. It started becoming bright. And when we started doing this, we were like, how come everyone else is not doing this? It does not make any sense for people that have the knowledge, they have the ability, they have the drive, they have the whatever, to continue living in this debt-filled life. Well, almost immediately, we started helping other couples through the church and in the military and this and that, and just a little tweak here and a little tweak there and a little bit more information at a time. And all of a sudden, we had a line of people waiting to talk to us to get a hand, and it just started growing from there. As far as starting Warriors Wallet is concerned, I was at a conference, JT Fox speaking event in Dallas. I got to speak on stage in front of, you know, 40 or so business owners. Eye opener. Yeah, it was pretty cool. My first kind of big time speaking engagement, and we had to do a 2-minute
pitch.
That's
big time, man. That is big time.
Yeah, absolutely. Had to do a 2-minute pitch, and at the time I didn't have a business. I had just been, you know, helping people out on the side and doing whatever. And I was kind of trying to shrug it off that I wasn't going to get up there and do this pitch, because what was I going to sell? And I tried to craft some, like, leadership thing to do with the military. And I was like, oh, I don't want to talk about that stuff. And then, you know, I was part of the Shine Foundation at the time. And I was like, well, I really didn't like the way maybe they talked about this thing at this event. So I was going to try to tweak the way they gave the 2-minute speech. And I didn't really feel like a whole lot of passion for doing that. And then I was sitting there, and the girl was that I've been, you know, talking smack to the whole weekend. She's like, when are you going to get up there? When are you going to do your little 2-minute speech? And I was like, I don't want – she kept glaring at me. kind of guilted me into getting up on stage. And I was sitting there listening to a few speakers kind of crafting my 2-minute speech. And at the end of it, I had talked about financial freedom and the things that I was doing for cash, you know, going hiking in the mountains of Alaska, going snorkeling on Key West, going parasailing in Hawaii, and all the things that I had done recently. And kind of at the end of the 2 minutes is a call to action, and you see the other business owners, if they're willing to take action, then, you know, some hands go up, and it's quality feedback. Almost every single hand went up on my 2-minute speech selling a product that I don't have in a business I don't really charge for. And it was eye-opening, because I had never really pictured anything other than just helping people out and giving it away. And then one of the coaches in the JT Fox organization pulled me aside, and he's like, this is your business, right? I'm like, no, it's not my business. He's like, why not? I was like, oh, I don't know. I just like helping people out or whatever. And he's like, didn't you have a story the other day about how you helped a friend of yours pay off $450,000 in debt? I'm like, well, yeah. And he's like, it sounds like a service worth paying for. But it still took me almost a year to get Warriors wallet up and going. You know, I still have a giving heart. I had a client today. You know, it's percentage-based financing, percentage-based costs. So I sit down with someone and I do a budget, and we offer some coaching and accountability. Accountability is hugely important for those single people out there that don't really have anyone they feel like they can talk to call and have a set up time and meeting and to go over some of the thoughts and the questions and decisions over the last month and really help hold them accountable to help them get towards their goals. That's one of the things missing kind of in the financial world.
Very cool. Yep. Very cool.
Very cool.
So, you know what stands out to me, man, is you're on stage and people are like, holy crap. Like the market's telling you that you have something.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And I think a lot of people, when they do business, they do it backwards. They're like, well, I'm passionate about this. I'm going to make it a thing. Rather than taking your passion and maybe molding it to what the market wants. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, we think about how many speakers are out there. Now, I could be like, well, I'm going to speak about this because this is what I'm passionate about. But I need to figure out what the market wants. So that was great feedback. Coming on stage, everybody like raises their hand like, heck yeah. And they're like, we want this thing. All right, well, maybe it doesn't need there. So that's what kind of really stuck out to me. Another thing that I kept thinking about when you were talking about Dave Ramsey and everything, because I listen to Dave Ramsey all the time. And here's what I love. I tell my wife all the time, like, listen to this couple get out of debt. Listen to this. Oh, wow, you're debt-free. Okay, cool. So how much debt did you pay off? Oh, we paid off $200,000, making what kind of money? $1 million. Like, really, dude? You pay off $200,000 with $1 million worth of income. There's something wrong. I never hear anybody go, oh, wow, you paid off $450,000 of debt. With what income? $80,000. You know, like, there's never an upside down. Like, there's never a – you see what I'm saying? It's always I have, like, $100,000 in debt, and I make $250,000 a year. Well, I hope you pay off debt. You know what I mean? Like, everybody calls it the show with issues, though, is the other way around. Everybody calls into the show is, well, I'm really in debt and I don't know what to do. Okay, how much debt you got? $75,000. Okay, what kind of job do you have and what kind of income? I make $30,000 a year. Like, oh, you're stupid. What are you doing? Oh my God. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the people who call in for questions are the ones that really need the help. But it seems like everybody calls into the show. I'm debt free. I paid off $450,000 worth of debt in 2 years. I made $1 million a year. Well, I hope so. So I don't know. It's like a joke between me and my wife. We try to guess what kind of money they're making based off the debt that they paid off.
Well, that's like the house hunters, right? You're like, what do? I walk dogs 2 days a week, and my husband's an apple farmer. What's your budget? $1.3 million, right?
Oh my God. Yeah, dude, we watch the HGTV shows, and they're like, oh, I got to find this house, and this is our budget. I'm like, I always wonder what he does. And he's like, I developed Instagram. Like, there you go. Like, why don't you have some dude that works at Walmart or McDonald's or something trying to find a house? Like, let's make it – if we have reality TV, let's really make it reality TV, you know?
One of the biggest things that I run across is people, it's that they don't really think that it's a possibility for them.
Oh, you know,
when my wife and I were doing this, when we first started, I had just put on second class, you know, E5 in the Navy, and right at 4, maybe 5, 6 years in the Navy, you know, not a whole lot of money rolling in. And, you know, one of the things that Dave Ramsey talks about is like, look, all these choices, all these things, all these strategies, whatever – the first decision that you really have to make is to decide not to take out any new debt. And at the time, that means, you know, no financing a TV from Ultimate Electronics, you know, no buying a ring, you know, no going to a payday loan place, or really, it's just not swiping that credit card. He does the whole plastic surgery where he cuts off credit cards on stage, and it's very visual and it's very wonderful. And, you know, we did this thing. We went through and we combed through our budget, and you have to give each dollar a job. It's just like in the military. Yep. You've got young soldiers, airmen, sailors, Marines, and if they don't have a job, they're just out messing up. they're out, you know, doing.
Yep.
There are places they shouldn't be doing things they shouldn't do. And it's the same with every single dollar that you make. If you don't give it a job and tell it the task and where you want it to work, you're going to go to the gas station, go inside, buy a slushy, you know, some corn nuts and some beef jerky, and then you go get a car wash and something else. And those aren't bad things. But if you don't plan for it in your budget, the
right.
money is just not working for you.
Right. You know, you follow enough people on social media and book and in the world itself, you follow enough people, you're going to get conflicting information. Recently, Grant Cardone literally just talked about this a couple of weeks ago, you know, and he's like, I want to deconflict anything that anybody thinks about me. For example, Dave Ramsey says debt is bad, cash is king. I say, I love debt. Give me more debt. Debt is working for me because somebody else is paying my debt off. I'm not paying my debt off. Somebody else is paying my debt off because he owns real estate and some other things. You know what I mean? And so, and he even literally talked about this. He goes, in the marketplace, you'll find so much conflicted information because there's not one way to do things. There's not one way that says you need to pay it this way. You need to do things this way. You need to, you know, whatever. There's hacks people use that if you're not using them, that it's going to take you a little bit longer than the next person who knows what the heck is going on. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah, I definitely hear that, and I definitely understand what you're saying. And there was a long time, you know, when we got out, where we were trying to get out of our cycle of credit card debt, and, you know, you pay it off, but then now you have no money, now you're using the credit card. You know, if you look at the biggest cities in the country, they all have bank names on them. They are betting that you're eventually going to fall into the cycle and get trapped. So you're using that interest to build their dreams instead of yours. You're sending their CEO on vacation instead of you going on vacation. And credit card in itself and credit is not a bad thing. I know many people that have used credit successfully to build and expand their businesses. And it really depends on the person that I'm talking to. You know, if I look back at 2008 and the people, there was havoc, right? People were losing their homes. They were losing their jobs, were losing all those stuff. But if I really dissect and I look into it, there was people making millions upon millions upon millions of dollars in 2008 and 2009. The people that were expanding and growing were the people that had cash reserves, no debt in their business, and they were expanding their businesses for pennies on the dollar, buying multi-million dollar buildings for next to nothing comparatively.
That's true. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying you shouldn't put stuff on cards. If you've got a business and you've got a truck that's running and that truck needs to be, you know, fixed for $14,000 and you're losing $1,000 a day, by all means, get that truck up and running because you're going to have that debt paid off in the next 14, 15 days. But if you're out swiping your credit card just to give your honey a night out at Red Rock Canyon Grill, I mean, that's just poor planning. I just got back from Vegas. My kids were in Colorado Springs, and my wife and her friend went to London on vacation. We had this budgeted out, having a great time to include gambling in Vegas, and I came back home for myself, my personal budget. I was $3,000 under budget, plus I made money at the card tables.
Heck yeah.
I'm not saying don't have fun, but plan your fun out. And if you're not in a situation where you can really afford to have fun, then you got to find ways to enjoy your friends throughout the week without breaking the bank. When we first got started, we had Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday night that we were with friends of ours, but we were having something like spaghetti dinner at our house or their house.
Right.
Some cheap and expensive meal that feeds the whole family, that allows you to still have fun with your friends. You're just not going out for drinks, out for dancing, out for those things. So we didn't feel like we were missing out because we were still seeing our friends all week long, but we weren't breaking the bank either.
Yep. Yeah, man, very true. And the one thing that I kind of struggled with when setting up budgets was that, I mean, how do I know if something's going to break in the house? You know, that's like the emergency fund, because you always have to put money into the emergency fund. You're always putting money in the emergency fund. And then the one thing that happened was we had an emergency, and I was like, oh, I got the money for this. I'm like, this is great. And then once I spent that money, I spent the rest of the time building that emergency fund back up. That's what it's for. It's for the unbudgeted life crap that happens. You know?
Absolutely.
And you know, one of the things that I find very interesting is that I was raised that you got to save money, got to save money, got to save money, got to save money. I have a credit card, and the credit card is a cashback rewards card from Capital One. And I got a bunch of friends that do credit card hacks, that they have an American Express card, and all of their money that they own goes onto this card. And so they're getting like I have a Delta, American Airlines, United, Hilton, Renaissance. Like I have all these hotel rewards. I have all these, you know, flight rewards, like all this stuff, because I fly out to different speaking engagements and I'm traveling. Now, I use this credit card because I get the rewards. And instead of racking up the debt, not paying it off, whatever money I put on that card is the money that I spend. But it gives me the cash back. And by doing that, I like one whole payment was just cash back rewards.
Right. So it's like you get a whole month for free.
Exactly.
There's nothing wrong with that plan, but just know that that plan is not for everyone. Like when we were fresh in the game, we couldn't do it. If we had the credit card, we were going to go out and have a decent time. And we weren't able to when we started to have that stuff in the house. Now, you know, years later, we're at where you're at, where we're able to funnel all of our finances through there. That flight to Colorado and the kids, that was all hacked. Grandma drove the kids out there for one of the cousins' birthdays, and I flew back from Vegas. I landed in Denver. Sister-in-law drove them up there, and we flew back from Denver free on points. But we got to a situation where we had the discipline and the planning and the maturity to do that. The problem is this is not happening when people are 18 or 19. What's happening when kids are 18 or 19, they go to college, and credit card companies are fighting to get on campus to show you what services they have to offer, because their research has proven that the first card you get, you're more likely to hold onto that card and use that card longer than any other card.
Yeah.
What they don't tell you
is a military star card. I still have it.
Yeah, there you go. It's probably the first card you got, and you're on there using it, and it's a thing. And,
yep.
But what they don't tell you is that you can have a credit card and use it once, pay it off, and not use it every month and still build credit.
Yep. Because they want your interest. They want your debt.
Oh, absolutely. My client today, I asked him what this charge was. It was about $300, and he's like, oh, it's a credit card. I was like, I thought you were working on paying that off. He's like, no, I pay it off every month. I'm like, okay, so what are you putting on the credit card? He's like, everything. And I'm like, "What? You have the money. Why are you doing that? And he's like, well, I'm trying to build credit. That's cool, man, but that's just not how it works. I was like, if you put your Netflix on there and you pay it off every month, you build the same amount of credit than you do if you were maxing it out. It's not the dollar amount. It's,
well,
the credit report has this thing that shows little green check marks every month that your account is good. You don't get a big, gigantic check mark for paying $5,000 off that month. You get the same check mark if you paid $5 off that month.
Right. Well, but it can hurt you if you have a $500 credit card and you're putting $500 worth of stuff on there. It can sort of hurt you if they report it in a way that you're using max credit at the time of report. Then it just shows that you're maxing out your credit card. Now, if you're staying under 30% or 36%, I think they say stay under 36%. I think that if you have a $500 credit card, or let's say a $1,000 credit card, and you're only spending $360 a month on it, and then you're paying it off, I think that raises the credit points more than just, if I have a $1,000 credit card, I'm spending $1,000 and I'm paying it off. If I remember right.
The old rule of thumb, and it sounds like it's updated to 36, but if it was less than 50%, your credit score was going up. And if it was over 50%, like if you had a fee and the interest kicked in, if it was over 50%, your credit score went down every month. The big thing that people don't realize is that zero is under 50%. I had a credit card for 4 years that I never even used, not a single time, and it just built me credit every single month for that 4 years. My wife was pretty upset when we went to get her car a few years ago, and I finally had my score higher than hers because she had a good parents that showed her the way. My credit score was 842 when we got her car, and she was upset that I was beating her.
Oh,
she had like an 812, but, you know. It's hard to be have an 800 credit score and get upset. But
people are listening apparently right now going, the credit score goes that high? The rating scale that high? 800, what?
800, what? You're insane, 842? Credit score goes that high. But you only need credit for one thing, and that's things that you can't afford.
Yep, like a house.
I got friends buying houses for cash all the time.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got guys that wholesale a house, although, you know. But I'm just thinking, like, me and the wife, like, we want to retire from the military. Like, we got to get a house, you know. And I don't have, you know, $250,000 just lying around, you know. Let me go into my safe in the back room under the basement and go get $250,000, you know what I mean? So
you don't have a duffel bag buried underneath your concrete that you have to, like, excavate out and get all your guns from when you used to be an assassin and all this money you can use to go buy a house. You don't have that?
I wish. What? That's like the new hotness right now. Like, what are you guys doing? Yeah, I think the best part is when you financially plan. Right? I mean, that's the message, right? Like, plan the finances. Don't just like, oh, I think I want this. You know, I was also raised that you don't buy things on want, you buy them on needs. If you don't need it, then you don't buy it. I'm like, but I want it. But you don't need it. But mom, I want it. She goes, well, you don't freaking need it. So now when I look back at that and I looked at how we lived, you know, and it just comes from a, like when you say, well, you know, I don't want that, you know, I need that, I don't want that, you know, whatever. When you play that freaking game, it sounds like you're coming from a scarcity mindset. Like, well, I don't need it, so I'm gonna save the money and I'm gonna, you know, whatever. Like, every, I'm either investing in something or I'm getting a return on something. Like, for example, I wrote an ebook. The ebook is $47. Every time I get that ebook, whatever, somebody buys this speaker ebook. $47 ebook tells you exactly how to get booked to speak. Every time someone buys that, I take that $47, it goes right back into my business. I either use it for marketing, Facebook ads, something like it's going for something. It goes into one of my buckets, a marketing bucket, flight, travel, something is happening with that $47. And it's like, woohoo, $47. I'm going to go to Starbucks now. And then I'm gonna go to the mall and buy me some jeans. And no, it goes funneled right back into the business. And I don't think a lot of people do that.
Well, it's a class mindset thing. And I just wrote a blog on this on warriorswallet.com, or you can check it out on Facebook. When I talk about my journey from being poor to middle class, and now the people that I'm meeting, you know, in the upper class, the rich, the wealthy. You know, we already talked about poor middle class mindset, but the wealthy, they talk about finances, personal finances, as soon as possible. They're taking their kids to business meetings. They're showing them how to cultivate relationships and manage assets. And the big thing of how the wealthy keep getting wealthier is asset is something that actually pays you, whether it's business like we're talking about, you and I, whether it's real estate, having rental homes, or even owning apartment complexes, investing, call, you know, paper investments, and then commodities like oil, art, gold, things like that. We're not taught about those things. We don't know that, you know, if you accumulate enough assets, all of a sudden they're paying you, and all you have to do is manage the asset, and all that does is free up time. I wrote another article a couple weeks ago about how to build wealth in the military. I've got three friends doing things with real estate right now. One guy flipped three houses a year, and he used that income to pay off his actual house. He's got something like 10 or 12 years in the Navy right now, and he owns his own house free and clear. He's just collecting that money every month. I got another friend who bought a house that was super cheap, and then he used AHRN it requires a government ID to post a house and to rent a house from, so you have guaranteed income people moving into your housing. Now he's using that to pay off the house that he and his family live in. And I got another friend that went the credit route. He's got 14 houses. And I think 10 or more are paid off. And his retirement goal is to buy an apartment complex, 700 units, making $1,000 a month, gaining him $700,000 of income each and every month. And it is slow over time accumulating assets, and an asset is something that pays you money.
Absolutely. Yeah, I love the hacks that people come up with. I had a buddy of mine who got a house and Airbnb'd the whole house. Like each bedroom was like Airbnb'd, and he like slept in his car for a little bit. And he got a little bit of money, then he got an RV, and then he bought another house, and then Airbnb'd the same thing. And it's like all his houses were all like Airbnbs. And then finally he moved into a house and just Airbnb'd one of the bedrooms. And then like all of his houses are like that. Like they don't just rent for, you know, $500 a month for the entire house. You know, it's like a couple hundred bucks, you know, a week or however much a day per bed. Like he's like doubling and quadrupling like everything he does. You know what I mean? Like that's scale. You know what I mean?
Well, and absolutely.
Kind of smart, you know, and that's what he did. And
all
like,
this
holy crap.
You've got all this ride sharing type stuff with Uber and Lyft and all this stuff. Well, they came out with Turo that lets people rent out your car. Think about the guys that go on deployment and that car is just sitting
there. Oh, yeah. Yep.
That can be making them money while they are away. I'm not exactly sure how key transferring works and stuff when obviously you're on a ship or you're gone overseas or what have you. But rent out your stuff. There is so many ways to make money. The guy I talked to today, he's in a tough spot. He's in recovery from drugs and alcohol. You know, he's out of the military, and he's trying to get his stuff straight for his daughter and get his life clean. He's been clean for 18 months, but now he's collecting disability, and they say that he's unemployable. Well, you know, we dove down into it, and really it covers $1,000 a month if he says he's employable. So I was like, all right, brother, all you need to do is make more than $1,000 a month, and now you're making money. And where he's at right now, he's got the handyman skills. He's willing to do some of those things that people aren't able to do or aren't willing to do. So now he's getting out there and he's mowing lawns and he's doing sheetrock and he's doing tile work and he's doing some fence stuff and a little bit here and there. And all of a sudden he's going to have a nice little income coming in and he's going to be able to meet his obligations, which is what everyone wants to do.
You know, in preparation for the show today, you know, I'm researching things, doing things. I really want to kind of be up on the know of, you know, what you do and what you talk about. And I was like, I got to run to the commissary real fast, you know? And all I did was buy like something to drink. You know what I mean? I was just buying like a 12 pack of soda for the wife and, you know, some water and, you know, some other stuff. Swipe the card. I walk out, you know, and I stop for a second. I look back. I'm like, I cannot remember the last time I panicked when I put my chip into the chip reader. Like, please be money. Please be money. Please. Like, I don't know. Every time I check my bank online, I don't get a panic attack. I don't get anxiety. Like, I'm like, yeah, I got about this much in the bank. Like, oh, yep, spot on. There it is. You know, like that's not like a worry. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, do I have enough money? Like, I don't know how to pay this. And I don't know how I'm going to, like, that's a great feeling. And I'm not saying I'm financially free. I'm more like financially stress free. Because I know where my money is going. I know what it's doing. And I'm so up on it. I know exactly. I like my wife says, hey, can I order this phone case from Amazon? I've got a new phone. She goes, I want to order this phone case from Amazon. I'm like, well, let me look at the budget. I pull out the budget real quick. I'm like, that should be good. And then I check to see exactly, like, did this come through in my account? Yes, it did for that exact amount. Boom. And I remember a couple weeks ago, there was like a random $84 charge. And I was like, oh, call the bank. I'm like, what is this? I want to know who it is, what it is. It's not in my budget. It's not in my list. Like, I want to know what it is. And they're like, I don't know what that is. I'm like, oop, fraud. I don't know what that is. I don't know. You know? And it ended up being that someone got my wife's card number like through an ATM. She went through the ATM because it says this charge. And then an hour later, there's a dollar charge. And then boom, like an $84 charge. And I was like, oh, no. Nope, nope. So a whole like fraud thing, whatever. Like I am so up on it, and I'm so anal retentive about it. Like I know exactly the cent that is coming out of my account, and I know exactly when it should come out.
That's how it's supposed to be. I mean, I've been doing this stuff for over a decade now, And if you'd open up my cabinet where we keep our glasses, in there is a big matrix that shows all of our bills for the first half and second half of the month. And it's got January through December. And when we get a bill and we verify our account, we check it off there to make sure, in case there's a billing problem, make sure we got all our bases covered, even though most of them are on automatics.
Yeah. Yep. Two things that just happened. One, T-Mobile has a military plan. If you're, I don't know if you're a veteran, but if you're active duty, I was getting like a 15% discount, whatever. And so we upgraded our phones because I literally had like an old phone from like 4 years ago. I'm like, well, there's nothing wrong with it. And she's like, all right, time for an upgrade. Like, this is ridiculous. My phone's kind of being stupid out. And I'm the one that's like kind of frugal like that. Like, I don't need a new phone. Like, it's, the keypad's falling off. It's fine. I'll duct tape it. It's fine. Like, I'm kind of that, you know, like if I don't need it, I don't, like, I really don't need it. But I was like, you know what? I do need a new phone because I'm going to speaking engagements all the time. I got to have a phone. So screw it. We'll go get another phone. Did the jump plan, and T-Mobile's like, you're on the military plan. I'm like, but I got the discount. She goes, no, like the military plan. I'm like, what is this that you talk about? My bill went from like $240-something for T-Mobile because we have four lines. My kid's got a phone. We got a tablet, you know, to like half, literally like to half.
Their military program is 50% off and free Netflix.
Dude, and free Netflix. My wife was like, oh, sign me up, Jesus. Oh, sweet
Every single person that I work with has jumped over to T-Mobile for that. The savings in their phone bill plus the extra 10 or 15 or whatever Netflix is up to is also free. That's covered.
Yeah.
It's not like $17 a month. It's not the $15 a month, right? It's the $180 a year.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. So I'm wondering, because I know what we did, I'm wondering what they're doing with that extra $10 or $15 they don't have to pay. They were like, oh, and now I can get Starbucks. Now I know exactly what we did. We figured out what we could add it to a bill to get out of debt faster. It's exactly what we did. You know, like,
once
do we put it towards the
car?
Once
that snowball starts building, it's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, ridiculous. So it's like, do we put it towards a credit card or do we put it towards – like the car, maybe we got a car payment, we put it towards that. So we found a bill that was pretty much almost done, and we're like, screw it, let's just put it towards that. It's $15. You know, I mean, that's how we consume content nowadays is Netflix. That $15 a month, I'm going to put that towards this bill. Boom, that's an extra $15. That might be interest payment. You know what I mean? $15 in interest
Absolutely.
Or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I just – that's what we do. And when you get into that mindset, man, it's so hard to get out of it. It's so hard to not do another. And the second thing I'll say, number one is T-Mobile. The second thing that we did was we meal plan now. So like every, cause first and 15th is when we get paid in the military. So every first and 15th, we sit down and like, what's our meal schedule going to look like based on my schedule, my work schedule? What are we going to do? I will tell you what, man, we don't throw away vegetables anymore because we forgot to use them. We don't go just, oh, you know what, I'm kind of tired. I don't know what to make for dinner. Let's just go get pizza. Oh, you know what, let's just go out to dinner. It's going to be late night. Let's just go out to dinner. $55 a pop because I got a family of six. Let's just, you know, $60, $70. You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit adds up, dude.
Oh,
so,
it's so quick. It's so quick.
Oh, yeah. So, dude, meal planning easily cut our grocery bill down by $100. Easily. Because that's like, how much vegetables did you throw away? How much other food went to waste, you know? So, yeah, dude, at least $100. Our grocery bill went down. We took that money. Of course, we don't smoke. We don't drink. So, you know, there's money there. You know, we literally plan everything. And when you plan your success, I'm telling you, man, that's the fast track way.
Oh, without a doubt. So when I get a new client or I get someone that's interested, they're hearing like, oh, I hear you can save me money or whatever. And we sit down with them. But some people, they don't come to me willingly. You know, usually if there's a couple, I've got one that's excited and one that just won't talk to me for like the first 40 minutes. Right. It's just this whole taboo thing that we can't talk about our finances because we feel like our self-worth is tied to our net worth. And it's just not true.
Oh, yeah.
Every single person I talk to and I talk to them, like, why do you call it a no judgment budget? I'm like, I've messed up. I've made mistakes. I tell them in some of the stories I do in Warriors Wallet of how I used to suck just like on a regular basis, you know, awful decisions that I made growing up, especially with money. But it's just like anything else, you know, talk about alcohol abuse, drug abuse, sexual abuse, you know, rape in the military, all these things. And if you don't talk about them, it just makes them worse. It makes them so worse. It makes it like this big, ugly, angry elephant in the room that's going to attack you if you mention his name. But it's actually making it worse by not talking about it. People come to me and they're leery. They just think I'm going to treat them like garbage because they're making bad financial decisions. And what? You're there because you want to get better. You want to see what you can do with your money. You want to see where you can end up. If you're listening to the radio right now, listen to this podcast, go through and look at all your monthly payments, your debt, your things that you can pay off. And then think about all those times you complained about work and not getting a raise. Whatever that number is, $1,500 a month, $2,000 a month, $2,200 a month, if you pay that debt off, you don't need your boss's permission to give you a $2,200 raise. You just gave it to yourself.
Yep.
But it doesn't matter if you don't plan that money out, because even if you do get that raise, it's just going to get sucked up in your lifestyle anyways. What if you got a raise and 100% of that raise or even 90% of that raise went towards building your future, went towards building your assets, went towards your children's college or paying off your house or whatever the thing is to make your world better, to change your generation, to not have it the way your parents taught you, to do something different? Because doing it the same, you're going to be broke like everyone else. Did some stat research before hopping on today. 57% of Americans have less than $1,000 in the bank. That means that you need to buy a plane ticket home for a loved one that died. That means a water heater that goes out. That means a car insurance deductible. You have an emergency because you can't afford to pay it. And you're like, oh, I got a credit card. It'll be fine. Look, it's not going to be fine. If you can't live off of 90% of your income, you can't live off 120% of income, because it's not the income amount. It's how you behave. It's the behavior that's the problem, not the income.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. 100%. 100%. You know, through this whole I was just thinking, you know, as you were saying that, you know, there's been a couple of times where, you know, I'm living in San Antonio, 2010, 2011, and we're just struggling, man, struggling. And then the AC goes out in like summer of Texas. I'm like, that sucked, dude. That was like $400 and some odd for just a compressor fan. That's $450 minimum. You know, that was like not even anything else that tagged along with almost $1,000. I mean, if you've got $400 in the bank and your AC goes out, you're done. That's it. That's all the money you have. And that's just a terrible feeling. I tell the wife all the time, you know, like, we'll be, you know, we're budgeting for these things and these things. You know, like, I just got back from South Carolina. I was speaking at an event in South Carolina. And like you said, man, I came in under budget. You know, I was like, man, it's going to be this much for the hotel. It's going to be this much. And then I got driving and then, you know, that. And I came in a couple $100 under. I was like, yes, this is awesome. Of course, it was a paid engagement. So literally any money spent would come out of that paid engagement. You know, the hotel cost comes out of what they pay me, the gas, the food, that like that all is budgeted under that money that they pay me. And so, you know, I tell her, I was like, you know, it's just like, I don't want to ever come home and be like, what? Where's all my money? Like, I don't have this, and this broke, and I need a new fridge, and I don't know how I'm going to pay. Like, the stress that I don't have is just liberating and is amazing. So Oh, definitely, definitely. Back in 2014, I got back from the desert. I was deployed all of 2013 and then into 2014. And I get back home, and wife's like, you know, we're doing really great. Finances are great. You should get a truck. I'm like, oh, God, here we go, this conversation again. Because she hates the truck that I was driving. In 2014, I was driving a 2004 GMC Sierra. It had 106,000 miles on it.
Nice.
10-year-old truck. Paid off, by the way. It had like 3,000 to go. I paid it off in the desert. So it's paid off truck. Had 3,000 to go. I was like, dude, I'm about to own my own car. I've never owned my own car before. Not even when I was like 16. Like, I paid money for a car, but then my mom financed the rest. I had to pay my mom back. Right before high school, the car broke. Or right before I graduated high school, the car broke. And then a friend loaned me a car, and I had to pay it. Like, it was just ugly. Never have I owned a car before. Never. I even got a $3,000 loan to buy a car from like a buddy, and I had to pay the bank, you know what I mean? Like, even the $3,000, that was just about paid off before I traded it and, you know, whatever. But I've never owned my own car. So here I am. I'm like, this is going to be great. And for 1 month, I owned my own truck. For 1 month, I had no payments whatsoever. I had my own title. It was phenomenal. And then she talked me into getting a new truck. But I didn't even get a new truck. I got a used truck, a couple years older, got a Tundra. Resale value was great. Everything was great. And then, but we already had a car payment. So, like, dude, we only have one car payment. It's going to be great. Hers was almost paid off. Long story short, a couple months in, I remembered, I'm like, why the freaking crap do we have two car payments? This sucks. Why'd you talk me into this? Like, this is stupid, right? Here's what my mentor said. My mentor's like, well, what means more to you guys? What means more? I was like, well, I mean, the truck is awesome because I haul stuff all the time and it gets good gas mileage and, you know, we go camping, whatever. He's like, yeah, I get that. But like, what means more? Like, not having payments, not having debt. Like, you need to figure out what what means more. It's like, well, I don't want the freaking debt. He's like, then sell it. Fastest way to get out of debt, sell your debt. You got a car payment, sell it. You got something else that you're paying on debt for, sell it. He's like, either you make more money or you sell the debt. That's how you get out of debt very, very fast. So that's one of the things that my mentor told me. And I said, well, screw that. I'm not going to get rid of this truck. I just got this. My wife's definitely not going to give up her car. So we decided to make more money. And so hence another business got built. We started making more money. Literally, I was like, all right, I got to build another business. I built another business and started making more money.
It's the way to go. And actually, car buying is one of the things that I talk about. And I wrote a comprehensive car buying guide that you can get on Amazon for a couple bucks. My last truck before this one was an 02 Chevy Avalanche. Avalanches, when they came out, were $45,000 truck. This thing would have been about 6 years old when I got into it. It had 60,000 miles on it, and I got it for $12,000.
Wow.
I drove that truck for a decade. We paid it off in like 4 years, and I had 6 years without any kind of truck payment. Let me tell you how quickly you can pay off your debt when you don't have a truck payment. So we ended up selling my rental before I really understood the power of assets, and we made, you know, $45,000 on it. We saved some, we spent some, we went on vacation, one, we invested some of it. And it came time to find another truck, and I found tons of trucks that I liked and this and that, and I test drove a couple, and I'm like, what am I missing? What am I looking for? Because, I mean, all the trucks were just about the same. And then talking to my wife, we just kind of discovered that I was really looking for that deal again, another way to save, you know, $30,000 on a nice vehicle that's going to last me a long time. And we really liked the bench seat up front, that six-person seating. Because you got a five-seater, and you got two kids, and then a couple comes over, you can't all go somewhere. You need a bigger vehicle. So went around, went shopping, found a 2015, this is last year, 2015 GMC Sierra. Same bench front seat, clean, super clean truck, 45,000 miles on it, brand new. It's like $55,000. I got it for $23,000. Saved another $30,000 on a vehicle. Taking the time to figure out what you need, what's worthwhile. And, you know, some of my criteria is I'm going to get a drivetrain that's solid. I've got the same motor and transmission. It's been the GM standard for almost 20 years now. And I've never had any problems with the Avalanche. I changed the battery, the alternator, and the fuel pump. That's it. And she's like, well, why don't you get something new? I'm like, well, what am I getting? What am I paying for? Am I paying for just less miles? Is it going to cost me $30,000 to get a sunroof? You know, am I going to pay... Well, yeah, you know, heated seats are nice. I checked that out on Amazon. I can get a really nice set of seat heaters for $80 that I can install. No harm, no foul, no big deal. So am I going to pay that extra $30,000 for a warm booty in the winter? If I get a sunroof, how often is it going to be open? Well, if I'm driving with my wife, she hates the wind and it hurts her ears, and I understand, and I love her. So if I'm riding with her, it's never going to be open.
Yep.
So, what am I really getting? It's that balance between need and fun, but you got to have the value there. I could have got the value. I test drove a 2015 special edition Green Flash Camaro. There's only like there's not very many in the U.S. Gorgeous car. Runs really fast. Not that I know from experience, you know. But it was a $40,000
manual.
I had a $40,000 car that I could have paid cash for, and it just didn't fit my lifestyle. It was so far. It was a gorgeous car. It really was. Everything I could have possibly picked in a car, but it really wasn't me. I'm not that person. I buy for need. I got those two tiny seats in the back, and technically my family fits, but I can't haul anything. I can't put my bike in the back. I can't do anything that I wanted to do, and it just turned out not to be the right fit. If you're going to the car lot on the weekend, you had a bad week, and you wander in there without a plan, their job is to sell cars. They do it a few times every single day. They're way more skilled at it than we are at saying no. You can tell that based on what people drive, where they live, and the tall banks you see in every city. Take the time, figure out what's right for you. Not only what's right for you, but what's right for you in the long term. You know, a bad weekend, you go to the car a lot, you come out with 6 years worth of regret and $450 car payments. It's not the payment, it's the time. Oh, yeah, man, my transmission broke. It's going to cost me $1,500. Cool. Was you getting it fixed? You need to ride to work? No, I bought this 2017 Dodge Dart. Really? Yeah, man, it's only like $400, but because I didn't have any savings, I couldn't afford to fix the transmission. So instead of paying $1,500, now I'm paying $450 a month every month for the next fill in the blank. You're stuck into that payment. You're shackled in. It's not making any money. It's only costing you money.
Yep. Boom.
Like it's
going to
be some – it's not going to be some collector's edition that's worth, you know, $140,000 40 years down the road because it could keep your last one running. If you get a refund check every year and you're not using it on car maintenance, talk to me about you getting too much back in your refund. But take some time. If you don't have your emergency fund saved up, take a chunk out of that and get your emergency fund bolstered up. If you've got car maintenance due, take care of that thing. It gets you to work every day. You need it to make money that you're trying to make. Take care of that thing. Oh, yeah, my car broke down. Really? Did you do any of the scheduled maintenance? No, I've had it for 5 years, and really I've only changed oil once. Well, I can't really help you.
Right? Jesus. Yep. So as we start to close the show, let's talk about quickly, let's talk about some resources, and then we'll start figuring out where we can get a hold of you. So as far as resources go, some of the ones that I just know off the top of my head, the Mint app, mint.com, is great for budgeting and some other things. If you want to go automated, QuickBooks for Business is great. There's one called FreshBooks. Dave Ramsey has his, Financial Peace University and all that stuff. Anything Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey is the category king of finance. And then there's also one that I use called I Was Broke, Now I'm Not. And what it has is a debt-free calculator. So you type in all of your debt, you type in all of your payments, and it kicks out 2.6 months from now. If you never add any debt to that, you know, that's when you'll be debt free. You know what I mean? So, but what other resources do we read? Like millionaire books or like Rich Dad Poor Dad, or you know, what are some resources that you recommend to people?
As far as books go, I can't do anything other than promote Financial Peace by Dave Ramsey. Read Me or Stay Broke by Mark Jackson. He's actually a friend of mine. Great guy. The Millionaire Next Door talks about the difference between looking wealthy and being wealthy. It's an amazing, amazing book. And you got Rich Dad, Poor Dad, which really talks about assets and how things actually make you money. Talking about budgeting stuff, you've got Mint, Every Dollar. You got things that will invest for you like Acorn.
What's Acorn?
Acorn, it rounds up to whatever dollar you have. So you spend $9.09, it saves the 91 cents up to the next dollar.
Oh, in your bank, right?
Yep. Yep.
Yep. Okay.
Things that you can do for your children. You can talk about what you're doing and why. You can show them what a budget looks like and how much things actually truly cost. You can, what we did for our kids is we have them as users on our credit cards, but they don't know that. So they're building credit every month, even though they have no idea it's happening. So when they start fresh in life, they'll have established credit. And then we made a deal with all the parents and grandparents on both sides, and everyone puts $5 a month into each kid's accounts. It costs them $10. It's nothing. And the kids got several thousand dollars in a bank account that they don't even know about. So when it comes time to buy a car or go to college, that money is there. My daughter's 15, and we were talking about, driving school and all this stuff. She's got money in her account saved just aside just for that. First car, we've been saving her whole life. A couple bucks here, a couple yeah. bucks there. It adds yep. up. Skip the latte. It's in your kids.
Yep. Yeah, and there's college funds for kids too. You know, 529s and all that.
529s, make sure that it's transferable state to state. Make sure there's no penalties.
Yep.
There's ones that allow you to use the money for other things other than just tuition. And there's ones that will allow you to change out. Say your kid goes to technical school or gets right into business and doesn't go to college. It allows you to transfer between people. Make sure you're asking the right questions depending on which one you get into. And then you've got – so I could talk the next, 28 or so minutes on the resources available. The big thing is if you're doing it like everyone else, really, you're probably doing it wrong. almost everything that I talk about with clients, if everyone's doing it the way you're thinking about doing it, it's probably a better way. Almost the thing I talk about most exclusively is really the perspective. And
right.
perspective is just looking at the problem from a different angle. Well, people are like, why do you guys give so much money? It's not that the organization that we give it to necessarily needs it. It's not that we couldn't use it in our budget. But by giving money, it changes the way that we view and look at money. Money
yeah.
is no longer a thing that we're just holding on to. You know, we're not hugging that cactus. You're hugging that cactus, it hurts you and you're scared to let go. But if you let go, it'll stop hurting.
Right.
You know? Getting on a budget, staying on a budget that makes sense. Budget yourself some fun. People are like, oh, you're just going to tell me not to spend money. No, spend your money. You've got money, spend it. But make sure you know what you're spending it on. I've got clients
yep.
that sit down, they bring a Starbucks cup. I'm like, hey, how much do you spend at Starbucks this month? Oh, I've only been a couple of times. Cool. We look, and they're spending $20 a week at Starbucks, and it's an $80 a month bill. That's someone's water bill. That's someone's garbage bill. $80 is a
yeah.
huge chunk of money, especially for someone trying to get out of debt. Some people, they're okay with that, and they can budget for that, and that's perfectly fine. Other people are like, well, I guess I'll go buy the roast, and I'll brew it in the morning and still be able to use my Starbucks cup, and it tastes like Starbucks, but I'm saving money. You know, it's not about completely wrecking your world. It's about just taking a little bit different look at what it is you're doing and why you're doing it. Dave Ramsey's quote is, today you can live like no one else, so tomorrow you can truly live like no one else.
Right.
Build assets.
Yep,
stop
definitely.
Trading time for money. Build value. Find something that can generate a passive income, like an ebook. You can buy Sean Douglas's book about speaking, or you can buy my ebook about how to save money on car buying. Write
yeah.
an ebook. Get something out there.
There you go.
Build passive income. Build relationships
oh,
with
yeah.
people in business. Get out there. Make something happen. Do you know why you don't see Lamborghini commercials on TV? It's because the people that can afford to buy them don't sit around and watch TV.
Because they don't watch TV. Right? Definitely,
absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely.
Since we're on plugs, man, where can we find you? Plug your websites, Facebook, products, favorite movie, whatever, man. This is your shameless plug. Go.
Shameless plug. Follow me on warriorswallet.com. Engage with me on our Warriors Wallet Facebook or Twitter. You can, if you're in the Oklahoma City area and you're a veteran, you can definitely connect with me by Books by Vets. We're actually releasing Resilient Warriors next month, and we'll have a big shindig on July 31st at Higher Grounds in Oklahoma City, probably around 6 to 8. Details aren't set yet. Resilient Warriors is written by 22 different female veterans, and it's all about their stories. Last year, we released a book called Walk with Warriors, 22 Veterans as well. Very thankful and honored to be published in that book. A little bit about my story. Want to find out more about me? Definitely check out Walk with Warriors on Amazon. All the benefits and all the proceeds for these anthologies go to keeping Books by Vets free for all veterans, first responders, and their families that want to get published, need a little coaching, need some editing, and we'll get you on Amazon. If you don't want to sit down and write, don't think you're a writer, check out their podcast, hashtag 22Save. You can get on there and you can do what we're doing here today, and you can just sit in front of your laptop or on the phone, have a conversation, and be put out there on a podcast. Definitely looking to have more people every day. You can send me a personal message on Facebook, Travis Johnson. But I'm just happy to be here and so thankful to Sean for giving me some time today. Finally glad to chat with you. Not really in person, but, you know, over the computer, over the phone, instead of just texting back and forth or on Facebook Messenger, trying to strategize and come up with ideas. And if you're out there and a listener and you're struggling and you need help, look me up. We can at least have a conversation about where you're at and where you need to go. We can sit down and do a no-budget judgment if you want to, or we can just chat, strategize, figure out what's the next step in your world.
There you go. I love it, man. Thank you so much for spending time with us. Great conversation. And I never know what I'm going to learn or who from. And it's good to know that I didn't not know a lot of things that you were talking about. So I must be doing something right. If the expert's coming on and I'm like, okay, I know that. Okay, perfect. You know what I'm saying? So definitely super pumped for that, man.
It's just like G.I. Joe, right? Knowing is half the battle. The other half?
Yeah.
The other half is taking action. It doesn't matter what you know if you don't do anything about it. Oh, I know I need to save. Yeah, whatever. Shut up. Cool. Are you saving? Oh, right. 74% of Americans have 10 grand or less in the bank. You're not saving.
Yeah. Yeah,
oh,
definitely.
I got to work this weekend. Really? You're not building assets to give you time off so they can pay you while you're doing nothing, enjoying your vacation? No, I got to get a good job. Do you have to get a good job?
I know so many people that have passive income. They never work. It's passive income, whether it be real estate, passive income, online courses, passive income. Like it's just passive income. And no matter where it comes from, it's just like we're going to retire from the military and get X amount of dollars a month. Technically, it's passive income. I'm not doing anything. It's just a pension, but it's still going to be budgeted.
It's still going to be budgeted. Yeah, my goal is to get 5 houses paid off in the next 10 years. That coupled with my military retirement means we're probably going to spend 3 months in Italy. And then once we're bored with that, maybe we'll go down to Colombia and check out the beaches. And when we're bored with that, hey, maybe we visit the kids in college. But right. It's not because I'm working hard. It's because I'm taking care and building assets, which you can do no matter if you consider yourself wealthy or not.
My life goal is to be 100%er by the time I'm 40, which means that my passive income is directly proportionate to my living expenses. So if I have to live on $5,000 a month, then my passive income better be $5,000 a month. And 100% of my living expenses is 100% coming from passive income. If I can be a 100%er, that's my life goal, and I want to do it by 40. So I got about, 5 years to go?
There you go.
Thanks, dude. You rock. And I want to thank you and honor your time that you spent with us today.
Hey, thank you so much for having me, Sean. I look forward to our next meeting, our next engagement, our next maybe we'll share a stage at a TEDx conference, huh?
Heck yeah, man. You know, we should do a like a first of the year, man, have you back in January and really talk about finances like in the beginning of 2019, sometime in January. We'll have you back and we'll do a show about being financially free in 2019, what that looks like.
Sounds great, brother. Can't wait.
That'd be awesome.
So, Life Transformation Radio listeners, another amazing guest, another impactful episode. If anything resonated with you today, which I cannot fathom why it would not, because we're talking about money, which everybody loves and hates, go to warriorswallet.com. The show notes right there, warriorswallet.com, booksbyvets.org. Check that out and look at facebook.com/shineforus. Look at what Travis Johnson is doing. He is crushing it in the financial game, and he can tell you exactly how he did it and what will work for you. Go to warriorswallet.com. Look Travis Johnson up on Facebook. He's everywhere. Navy veteran. The dude's crushing it. As I close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out the core values that you have deep in your heart. And I call this living your brand. So until next episode, have a great night.